So Virginie, as long as you're going to begin in a minute, let me just start with some public service announcements. So first of all, I would like to, on behalf of W3C, express gratitude to Virginie to putting together this chair training module. I guess I should say this is Jeff Chaffee speaking. So this is hers from beginning to end. So it was Virginie who first suggested that we put together this module, which was a great suggestion. And then after we looked for some people to develop and deliver the module, Virginie very graciously volunteered when no one else stepped up to do so. So that's very much appreciated. And I think it's a very important topic, so we're all looking forward to hearing the presentation today. I'd also want to share with everybody that at EPAC in 2 weeks, actually 2 weeks from today, we will be having a chair's breakfast at TPAC, 7:30 in the morning. And so I'm looking forward to an ongoing discussion and dialogue among the team and the chairs and all of us with each other. One of the topics which the AB has been talking about a lot recently on its email thread is what's the best way for chairs to leverage the team resources. Team staff contacts do a lot of stuff. They do, they sometimes do editing, they write test cases, they handle administrivia, they bring technical expertise, all sorts of things like that. What are the best practices? What are the things that are most important or less important and could be done without? So for those of you that are able to come to the chair's breakfast in 2 weeks, I'm very much looking forward to hearing your perspectives as we discuss that issue and anything else that people want to discuss at that chair's breakfast. So with that, I think it's probably time to begin, so I will hand it back to Virginie.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Jeff. So just a little bit of logistics for this training. I guess most of the people have registered their attendance by typing the present plus and then indicating your name into the IRC because most of us are on the IRC channel, which is named Chairing. Another point is in the invitation was indicated that we would record that training session. So I guess this is okay for you. And the result of the recording will be added into the minutes. So I guess this is okay for you to have the session registered. So I guess that all of you were able to jump into the training material that Coralie has kindly sent to you. This training is about the horizontal reviews, and actually it's dedicated to chairs and editors because I had the feeling that it was really something that could be handled or under the responsibilities of those two kind of official roles in working groups. So this is the first time that we are giving this training. It is supposed to last 1 hour. Maybe it's going to be shorter, and you will have a chance to raise your questions. I suggest that maybe if you have questions during the presentation, just type Q+, and then I will take questions directly. So if you go on to slide number 2 in the material sent by Coralie, you will see that I have tried to set up an object for that hour so that you can understand why you are here and what is the benefit for you. So actually the benefit is more for W3C because one of the objectives of W3C is to make sure that all the horizontal topics, and we will see which one, are actually handled correctly and seriously in all the deliverables, the technical deliverables mainly. And the idea here is to make sure that you are aware that horizontal review is needed. Whatever is your working group, whatever is your technical topics, you have to take that into account. And of course, you cannot do that without any some support. And this is what I'm going to explain to you in the following material. And of course, there will be some representative of each of the domain into that call. And the idea is really to help you to answer the question. If I want to have a review, how can I do that? And we will direct you to the reviewing material. So I'm just checking that there is no question at the moment. I'm just checking. Do we have Judy on the call? Looks like no. Do we have Richard on the call? Do we have Wendy on the call? Okay.
Yes, Wendy is on the call.
Yeah, Wendy is on the call. So I just also wanted to highlight the fact that the people I've just mentioned, and you will see their name in the following sections, they have helped for setting up the material, and they will be your main face. Let's jump to the slide number 3, which title is horizontal like what? So you may answer the way you want, but here in W3C, horizontal means internationalization, accessibility, privacy, and security. So why is that so important for W3C? Maybe I don't have to extend so much, but the idea is really to have a web which is trusted for all, which is available for all, and which has some good performance and which is enabling the business. In W3C, there is this idea that users' privacy and security are important, that accessibility is a key point too, and you have seen that we have a lot of effort going on the accessibility, and internationalization also is a key point in order to make all the deliverable accessible all around the world in terms of geography, language, and so on. So in the slide number 4, the question that you might have as chairs and editors is why, when, and how should I have this horizontal review? Actually, because this is about your deliverable being compliant with all these 4, I would say, concepts, it is important that this is happening, this review are happening during your first public working draft. At least this is something that would be very important. The reason is that even if your technology is not finalized, what is important is that you give to the experts of these different reviews a chance to evaluate if your feature is a risk or not for the domain. If you have started something which has a lot of implication in terms of security, it's good to let the expert know, and they will come back to you with some good advices on the design of your technology. If you have some wrong style in terms of accessibility, then the expert of the accessibility will be able to come back to you. So at least having a first exchange as soon as possible into the creation of your spec is something which is important. So once again, because we know that each of you as editor or chair or even as individuals contributing to a working group, you don't have to be an expert into accessibility or internationalization. There is some extra support which is given to you by some experts in each of the domains. So you will see during that presentation that each of the domains has actually each of the domain has some specificity. So not everything is harmonized across the different, domains. This makes that we I'm going to go through each of them and to tell you, well, if you want to start a review, you should read that. You should have a look at this, mailing this. Maybe you can contact that person. And that's really the aim of this training, is to give you some good tools to start your review. So about the typical mechanic of the review that should happen for the specification handled in your group. When you write your spec, and this is what I mean with the slide number 5, which is titled Horizontal Review Mechanics, when you write your spec, you may have started first by some requirements. You know, you start to indicate what are the wishes. And that would be good to inform the reviewer that you have this kind of technology which is seen to go. After, when you will be in first public working draft, it is important that you contact the appropriate reviewer and that you indicate an approximate timeline, like, we believe we're going to be ready in 3 months, we believe we're going to be ready in 1 year, you know, just to give also a kind of priority or emergency associated with your specification. And you should also be able maybe to give a first feeling, like, we have the feeling there will be a lot dealing with user interaction, so maybe accessibility is important. Feeling that your spec is going to be sensitive stuff related to the user, some sensitive data or for some specific usage which are kind of private, so you will require to have a privacy review. So another mechanic that at least in WCC we would like you to handle, if you can afford it, is that you nominate a champion into your working group to deal with the reviewer. Okay, it's not only the task of the chair to do that, but maybe you have someone in your group which is sensitive to that topic because he has experienced some accessibility project, or he has been working with internationalization. So if you can find this champion into your working group, that would be great, that this person becomes responsible for dealing with a reviewer from the domain you choose, and also being able to answer the questions of the reviewer. Because if you are not maybe an expert of accessibility, the accessibility experts aren't experts of your own domain. So there will have to have some good dialogue between the two parts, and it's good to have someone who is clearly identified and treating the topic. And so another thing is that horizontal review is not a one-shot. It's something that you will have to maintain all along the life cycle of your spec. So you don't have to speak about review during each of your working group call or each of your working group face-to-face. But you have to treat that on a regular basis, like maybe every 2 months or every 6 months, once again, depending on your own timeline. So is there any question on this idea of mechanics for performing reviews? Okay, I just read into the hierarchy that Richard has joined. So Richard is an internationalization guy, and thank you for being there, Richard. So we can go maybe to the slide number 6, which is, well, I am a chair, so I'm chair of the Web Culture Working Group. And as chair, I understand that having reviews to conduct is just like, well, guys, I already have my usual work in my company. I have my working group call late that night. I have to track the bugs and task and managing issue. Yes, we know. we know that as editor and chairs, you are really busy. But what is at stake here is really to guarantee that the open web platform is going to stay consistent with the value of W3C that I have reminded. So web for all, giving confidence to the users. And I think that for that, we have to be brave. We as chairs, we have to be brave. And we really have to not ignore those reviews. So I hear some beep. Yeah, okay. So there is still no question. So in that case,
And I'm on the queue here. So I had a couple of things just about how you decide who to bring in. Because if you have, if you have user interaction, you should think about privacy. Pretty much any user interaction brings in privacy, potential privacy and security concerns. And the other one was when you have a champion, it's good if you have someone who cares about accessibility and who does accessibility stuff. One of the things we're trying to do in the web platform group is get as many accessibility people as we can, in particular, directly involved in the work. But there's a limitation on that, which is all of these horizontal fields are very, very broad. Internationalization, in order to understand the kind of issues you're going to face in 200-odd countries with hundreds of languages and scripts. So there's a massive amount of knowledge and you're unlikely to find any one person has it. So if you have your accessibility expert who assures you that it's all good because they've checked it, or your whatever expert, don't believe them. Make sure that you are going out and getting the broadest review you can get, because you're almost certainly not going to have a person who can do all this for you. Just these fields are beyond the scope of a single person.
Yeah, so I completely agree with you, Charles. That's a really good advice that you're giving here. So I suggest that maybe if there is no other question. Okay, so I suggest that we jump to each of the four domains that we have been discussing, and for each of them you will find a kind of, first tool to start your review. So let's start by the internationalization one. Sorry for my bad French, I have some problems with that word, internationalization. So Richard in W3C is part of that domain, and he has been supported and giving some material to set up this part. So what is internationalization? Sorry for the people who are very familiar with that, but the idea here is to be able to make sure that the technology you are going to deliver is going to support text in any writing system of the world. And the basics for it is Unicode, of course, but nevertheless, making that happening is quite complex. Actually, there are some challenges if you have a look at the different way things or things are written all around the world. You might have challenges such as writing vertically. Not everyone is writing in the same direction. Mixing right to left and left to right text is also something quite complex. And afterwards, you have everything which is going to be very cultural. And, those are the things that when you start to rework the details about making sure you are read or understood everywhere, this is becoming quite tricky. Fortunately, so if you jump to the slide number 8, we have this internationalization, which is part of the interaction domain. And you have different groups which are inside this internationalization. So you have internationalization interest group, internationalization working group, internationalization tax set interest group. You have also some community groups which are dealing with specific topic. But keep in mind that all your reviews must be asked to the internationalization working group. So this will be your main interface. You don't have to analyze all the internationalization domain, don't worry, but at least being able to talk to the internationalization working group is your target. So how would you do that? Actually, if you want to talk the same language, or if you want your on the same language and reach out to people, you can have this is on slide number 9. You can have a look at the best practice guideline, which is existing. So I know that everything can be found on the BASE3C website, but I really preferred into that presentation to have really accurate references to the links, so that you have, you know, the latest material to support you. You also have some typography indexes. And actually, you can also create issues that will be bridged or linked with the internationalization working group, and this can be automatically created. So maybe Richard, if you are ready and allowed to speak, if you are not in another meeting, that would be great if you could just give us maybe 1 or 2 minutes about what are the good way to start a review.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Well, I guess I don't know whether you're going to say this, but we're happy to hear from you quite early on. We've always had a problem in the past where people reach last call and they think the spec is done, and they're pretty well done as well, because they're exhausted and they've put all their effort into making the spec look great, and then they send it to internationalization and we say, well, you know, there's this problem here and there's that problem there and there's a fundamental issue over here. And that never went down very well, either with them or with us, to be honest, because it means that we have to drop everything and help people meet the schedules that they have, which are very close when you're at last call stage. So we're very happy for people to contact us at an early stage, and usually the first public working draft is a good point at which to ping us initially. And we will probably play tag with you for the rest of the time that you're working on your spec. But we'll get a pretty good idea of some of the basics at that early stage. you can write. One thing that happens quite regularly is people write to me and say, can you help us with this question? It's much better to write to the internationalization working group. You can either use the member list if you really need to, but we try to do all our work in public. So you can write to this email address here, international@w3.org for general technical topics. If you want us to schedule a review, you could write to public IETNN core w3.org, and Addison Phillips will probably get back to you. He's the chair of the internationalization working group, and we can discuss how to work together. What else would you like me to say?
So I think that's already a good example of a domain person in explaining, yes, please come to us very quickly and early, and that's very good feedback. I think that also what And I guess that now that we have this training and now that chairs and editors may interface, I hope, more easily with the different reviews that should be done, I guess that what is expected on the domain side is really to take care of those people coming to you and coming at you and asking some help. So I would say that chairs and editors, don't worry. You will be in the right hands, and if you know nothing about internationalization, you will get some support, and that's the same for all the other domains. So don't be afraid to make the first step. After that, there will be someone to help you. So on the slide number 10, you have the names and the contact that you can get in touch. So yes, there is Addison Phillips and Richard. And you can also have a look at the review radar, which is where the internationalization is putting some good information. So the second, so any direct question to Richard? Okay. So if it's not the case, then we can jump. Oops. I think, yes, Richard?
I don't have a question for myself, but I'd like to have
you could.
Ideas, if that's okay. It would be great if you, as chairs, could try and make sure that your specs are easy to understand for the horizontal working groups. Virginie already said that we are not experts in your domain, and in fact, you know, we often have the possibility of reading your spec once or twice before we have to make comments on it. So the easier your spec is to understand, the better it works for horizontal groups. Occasionally we get into, you know, very algorithmic text. Some of that was in the HTML Py spec, for example, and that's particularly hard for us to understand sometimes. And a brief summary of what the algorithm is trying to do is usually extremely helpful for us. So please bear that in mind. I'd also like to say that the idea of having a champion for internationalization is really helpful. However, please don't rely on your champion to do everything related to internationalization. The ideal situation is that everyone in the working group slowly learns about internationalization and what the issues are and how to fix them, and that's everyone in the working group. It's great to have a champion to do the interface, to make sure things happen and so on, but don't just throw things over the fence to him and wait to get them back. Because this experience, I think, will be useful for you in your everyday lives and for all the projects that you're doing in the future. Okay, I'll stop. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. I mean, that's a good feedback. I guess that each of the domain person could be able to say the same kind of comment, like make sure you're readable, you know, all this kind of stuff. So the next domain that we can talk about, and I don't know if Judy is around, it's about the accessibility. So let me give you a few ideas about accessibility. So here, the objective is to make sure that anyone, including the ones with disabilities, can access the web. So there is something that is now quite interesting, is that it's not only about just being social. I mean, this is also about improving the capability of the technology, and because it's quite it has been demonstrated that by putting some good accessibility capabilities into your technology and into the different websites, then you are able to improve the SEO, and also you become more device independent, which is also always good for a good accessibility from everywhere to anyone. So the accessibility domain targets different facets of the web, which is the content itself, the web content, the user agent. It also covers the assistive device, so helping to translate text into voice, you know, kind of stuff. Everything which allows to be an author is also covered by the accessibility, and all the tools which allow to evaluate the level of accessibility of a certain technology is also handled by the accessibility. Domain. So this one I would say strong culture in W3C, and so the WAI, which is a Web Accessibility Initiative, is in charge of the accessibility, so you can find that information to the slide number 10. In WAI, so Web Accessibility Initiative, you have some groups which are dedicated to spec review, spec development, some guideline development, education, and outreach, and also general discussions. And so WAI is quite large. Don't be afraid, again, I'm not saying you just have to worry about one working group, but the working group you will have to deal with is going to be the accessible architecture, the APA, oh, sorry, I don't know how to say it in English, APA working group. So this group is actually replacing the protocol and formats working group if you already had a chance to work with them. So if you go into the slide number 13, what about the support that you can find about the accessibility? So I'm just checking that there isn't a question on the IRC, no. So slide number 13, W3C says all repeating a lot of time this, but I believe it's important that chairs and editors endorse that statement. Some lines which are related to best practice for developing specifications. So this is direct tool or direct support, I would, of the editors. And there is also a draft checklist, which is available. So this will guide you a little bit in the things you should take care if you want to be accessibility compliant. So that is interesting to read, but because we understand that it's sometimes quite complex to enter into a new domain like this one, there is also an IRC channel which is here to, you know, to have direct question and answer, or, you know, there is a kind of 7/24 service to help you. This could be question on how to start, on who is available for a specific task. So you have some people who are on this channel that can help you. So on slide 14, please keep in mind that you have the good contact. If you don't know where to go, if you don't want to use the IRC, your right contact for this kind of review is going to be Janina Saska, who is actually the chair of the Accessible Platform Architecture I have mentioned earlier. The team contact is Michael Cooper. And if you want to make some requests on the WAI, then you can use their mailing list, and after they will help you on the follow-up aspects. So I don't know if Judy is on the call. She said she might be able to do that. It looks like she's not. But anyway, Judy Brewer is also as a leader of the Y. She, of course, can help you. So I'm not going to repeat for and enter into the detail for each of the domain, but I'm sure you understood the principle. So internationalization and accessibility, we have gone through it. You have contacts, names, and some beginning of material. We can also discuss the privacy. So the idea is that for the privacy aspects, you have to make sure that anything that... Yes? Oh, sorry.
Just before we leave the accessibility piece, so I'm sorry that Judy couldn't be here. If anyone has any questions about the accessibility piece, if they're simple questions, I'd be happy to try to answer it. And we have other people on the call who are very active in accessibility, such as Charles. He may also be able to help answer some questions. Or if not, if there are things that people want me to bring back to Judy, I'm happy to take those questions back to her, and then we'll get back to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeff. So coming back to the privacy aspect, one of the key points for the privacy is that we would like to make sure that while the user are using things that W3C is developing, there is no illegitimate access to sensitive data, and those sensitive data are what? It's location, health, social network information, and everything that relates to the user activity on the web. So the W3C privacy activity is here to ensure that the web that we are all together building does not harm our users' privacy. So this covers actually the user tracking principle, like making sure that the user cannot be tracked, the technology developed by W3C. Of course, this relates also to the fingerprinting. So fingerprinting is the fact that being able to detect that a user is associated with a machine, having some specific characteristics, a user agent with specific parameters and configuration, and it's also a way to track the user. And privacy also covers the API design. And so actually, maybe you cannot imagine how, but by designing some specific function into your API, you may give a hand to someone trying to robe some data of the user. So this is where you should really be full and also ask some support. So if we go into the slide 16, which title is Privacy Structure. So privacy at W3C is consists actually of a privacy interest group and a tracking protection working group. The privacy interest group is gathering some people really sensitive to the privacy, of course, and this is where you should ask some reviews. So having witnessed the way they are handling the reviews, so in the privacy interest group, what they do is that they define a champion which is going to be in charge of collecting all the reviews and so on. So they are doing pretty good. Sometimes there is a lack of contributors, and this is where it's hard on the different domains. But at least they will answer to you, yes or no, we can do that or not. So you have some guidelines which are in draft. And what is interesting is that you have a fingerprint guidance for editors. So this is directed to the editors. And you will find inside some you know, it's very high level principle, but it's about not disclosing too much information about the user if it is not necessary. So like making sure you don't unveil stuff if you don't need it. You know, it's really the basic principle, but taking the time to read that will help you rereading your design will help you maybe to modify a little bit the way you have worked out your API. There is another interesting questionnaire. So this, again, is a draft. And actually, this questionnaire is a result of a conversation between some people in WebAppSec and some people in the technical architecture group, the TAG. And in this questionnaire, you will find some security and privacy basic questions. And you should be able to answer it. And this could be a beginning of your review. But the objective here is really to create awareness about security and privacy. So the two topics are, at the moment, they are mixed into this questionnaire. Because, well, you know, security privacy is most of the time linked. But that's interesting for the editors to go and have a look at this questionnaire. So your contact for the privacy reviews are indicated in the slide 18. So the pink chairs, so privacy interest group chairs, it's Christine Rungar from ISOC and Tara Wallen from Google. And your team, W3C team contact is actually Nick, Nick Doty. Any question on the on this part of the review? So if not, we're going to finalize the presentation with the security aspects. So here, of course, users' data, private data are sensitive, but here we are also dealing with some things which have value, like making sure that a transaction being conducted on the web is not going to be changed or redirected and so on. So here again, the objective is to make sure that the business which is happening on the web can be done in a trusted way. The security activity is trying to adapt the web security model with new security features and special care to the API design. So the way the security activity is structured today is that you have different working groups which are WebAppSec, Web Crypto, Web Payment, and there is also the Web Security Interest Group. The Web Security Interest Group is not, I'm also chairing that group, is not that lively actually. One of the reasons is that security experts are scarce resources, and having companies sending some security experts, you know, with no exact goal or just for review is not something which is so motivating for them. For the companies, for the W3C members. Nevertheless, if you want to have a security review and you need to have a security review, your review should be asked to the security interest group and the TAG also, which is performing a lot of the reviews. The TAG today has at least two people who are very skilled in security. It's Mark Nottingham and Ian from Yahoo. So should not hesitate to contact them indicating that you need some support in terms of security. So again, if you go to slide 21, the support that you have is the guideline which has been written by the TAG and which is a questionnaire. So your contact for the security, there is me. You have the co-chairs of the TAG who are Dan and Peter, and Wendy, who is present on the call, can also support your first step towards the security review. So Wendy, if you have few things to add, maybe 1 or 2 minutes dedicated to security and privacy, because it's also your domain.
Great. Thank you, Virginie. And I get in the short time here, I think I'll point to the security questionnaire that we've seen a few groups use now as an appendix, directly as an appendix to their documents. So going through the self-review questionnaire, answering its questions, and then putting that text right into your draft as an appendix is one way to show that, yes, the document has made some privacy and security considerations. And then that's a good starting point for experts from the horizontal review activities to work from and to consider both, you know, do those answers inspire confidence in the security and privacy properties of the spec? Was there something that's missing, some additional consideration that should be taken into account before the spec moves forward? I think as I see the security and privacy reviews, we aim to help, and we want to help you get your specs moving forward with due consideration to the privacy and security concerns that might be raised. So let's get those out early and addressed early rather than discovered as bugs reported late into the review process, or worse yet, after deployment, with somebody screaming, "But wait, didn't you think of this terrible attack?"
Okay, so that's a very good objective, and I think as W3C, we have the responsibility to do that. And yes, I'm working for a security company. That's the reason why I'm highlighting that. So I think we have done with the different reviews. Before we go to general questions, if you have some, so I'm just looking now at the slide 23, and I just would like to thank the different people who helped me to gather the material. So there was Coralie, Judy, Léonie, Wendy, Félix, Richard, KG, and Takeda-san, and Nick. And I wanted to thank them because I think that's a good way to help you and to help the chair, and I am a chair, to start a review is to have a good indication on where to start. So slide number 24 is here to trigger questions if you have some. So it looks like there is no question. As I have mentioned on the slide, it's absolutely okay to complain.
Virginie, there is a question, actually.
Charles? Yes. Charles, any questions?
Sorry, finding my answers. Yeah, so
you go to hell.
The question I had was, what happens if you fail a review? What happens when you find a problem and it's really, really difficult to resolve? I can think of a bunch of examples, but pick any example.
So, Charles, I think that there are some topics that were so sensitive in terms of privacy that they were just rejected and not standardized by W3C. So this can happen, and this is a worse case. Nevertheless, I think that now the privacy topic has been handled during a few years now in W3C, conducted by mainly Christine and Nick, and I think that they can really help to tell you from the beginning that what you are trying to design is going to fail. So I'm sure they are able to do that. And after that, well, I'm hoping that we are in a modern society and we will be able to find some solutions to the privacy problems. So I see Wendy talking about the do not track. I don't know if it's a joke or if it's serious.
The DNA on the web community group, where I propose to put the DNA of everyone who views the web. Yes, it is a joke. But in more serious vein, as team make recommendations to the director around the review and transition of documents and out of the security and privacy area, I would not be recommending that we recommend a document that had a spec that had unaddressed privacy or security flaws. So a document that included privacy considerations, noting that there were serious trade-offs made, and on balance, it was seen to be reasonable to ask users for consent for data disclosure, for example, could be an acceptable resolution, one that didn't even mention the privacy consideration, but blithely took users' information and shared it worldwide, might not get a go ahead.
Okay, so at least it's clear. So, is there any other question? Okay, so if it's not the case, then I guess we can close that training. Once again, this training, it was the first time that we gave it. If you have any feedback on it, like, well, it was boring, and if you don't want to tell it to me, you can say that to Coralie or to any of the domain leaders present on the call. That would be good to get your feedback and to know if it's worth going on with this training. Of course, all the material is available, so start now to explore the different links and also make advertising for that new activity, which is under your responsibility as chairs and editors. And maybe during your next working group call or next face-to-face meeting, you could just inform the working group that you have four more tasks to do, which are four more reviews, and start looking for your champions. So thank you very much for listening, and see you all in TPAC.
Thanks very much, Virginie. Thanks all for attending.